Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Divine Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Highlights of Upanishads. The title is Prashna Upanishads and Questions and Answers, presented by Swami Jyotirmayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
तस्मै स होवाच प्रजाकामो वै प्रजापतिः स तपोतप्यथ स तपस्तप्त्वा समिथुनम् मिथुनम् उत्पादयते रयी च प्राणम् चेत्येतौ मे बहुधा प्रजाः करिष्य इति दट् गुरु रिप्लाइड् सेज् विप्लादा आन्सर्ड् हिम् इट् इस् प्रजापति द लॉर्ड् आफ् आल् बीयिङ्ग्स् In that context, the word has been used. That means God, who desirous of creating diverse beings, practiced austerity. All this is allegorical description. The word desire with God implies the whole universe has been based on a conscious support, the support of intelligence. When you desire something and you go after it, your intellect goes on operating constantly in that process. Therefore, the world has not been created by inert matter. The source and the cause of the world is not something like something inert, like a rock, lifeless. But the source of the world is a source that is boundless heart, boundless wisdom, boundless love. Just to enable you to understand, the source is a thinking source. The Upanishad dramatizes. He was alone. Now he wished, may I be many. And that subtle point, the will of God that creates the world, is associated with austerity. Austerity term means allowing your mind to be controlled and to flow with profound concentration. Austerity is the secret of all spiritual movement. From that, when you define austerity in that way, this point has been brought out in the Upanishad. Bhriguru Vai Varuni, disciple Bhrigu goes to the Guru asking for, who is Brahman? I want to attain enlightenment. And the Guru looks at him and says, Tapo Brahmeti. Austerity is Brahman. And in those days, there's no discussions. Disciple goes on, working on austerity, and comes back, says, and also he defines Brahman. Brahman is that from whom this entire world has emerged, by whom the world is sustained, into whom the world dissolves. That's Brahman, tapo brahmeti, go and practice austerity. Goes on practicing austerity, and after a year he comes. Says, oh Guru, I have realized. Guru says, What have you realized? Annam Brahmeti Vyajanat. I have come to know that matter has evolved all this. Everything can be explained in the terms of matter. The sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, the ocean, the human bodies, brains, nervous system, all can be explained by matter. From matter, all this has emerged. Matter sustains it. Into matter, all this dissolves. He thought Guru's face will shine up. Guru remained staring at him. Go on, do more austerity. Tapo Brahmeti. Now as he goes on, focusing his mind, he comes to the next level, Pranam Brahmeti Vijana. He realizes matter, in spite of being the source of all and sustainer of all, cannot organize itself unless there is vitality behind it. So he comes to the development inside. There is energy, there is vitality. And that energy itself condenses into matter. So matter doesn't matter. Pranam Brahmeti Vijaya. The next time he comes, even that prana didn't satisfy him. Again he comes back, mind is Brahman. Next time he comes back, intellect is Brahman. Cosmic intelligence, And even that is reduced to pure joy. Anandam brahmeti vyajanat. Ananda is the ultimate analysis of all. And you come to realize it by sustained practice. Sustained practice is austerity. Austerity is the name of sadhana. So Brahman practiced austerity. By the power of austerity, he created a pair, Rahi and Prana. These are Sanskrit words. Rahi relates to matter. Prana relates to spirit. These two terms are well known in the by Purusha and Prakriti. The soul within you is the ray of God. That's the Purusha. It is for the sake of the soul. Prakriti has matter, the material world comes before you. And the soul is constantly working along with Prakriti, along with nature. These two principles, one is positive, another is negative. One is dynamic, another is passive. One is represented by the sun, another is represented by the moon. The entire yogic process of evolution, soul's evolution for attaining liberation, the entire process is described in the terms of matter and spirit, moon and sun. The very word Hatha Yoga, which is the very early stage of yoga, Ha is sun, Tha is moon. The sun operates in you in the form of Pingala Nadi, that which heats your body, warms the body, and better known as Prana. The moon operates in you in the form of Ida Nadi, Ida Nadi that cools. To have simple understanding, I'm going a little deviating from the topic. Look at the breath. When left nostril flows, it is called Ida. It has a cooling effect on your body. When right nostril flows, it is called Pingala. These two must be in balance. Therefore, breathing exercises have evolved a subtle process of balancing prana and apana. As balance develops, that's the secret of physical health, and physical health promotes mental health. But there are broader implications of these two words, and we will see.
Swamiji, I have a mantra for my, you gave me a mantra at my Om Namo Shivaya. And I was listening to that mantra, you know, in a kirtan. And I would do my mala, and then I would listen to that during the day, and I was drawn to listening to these kirtans. And then I came across this one that said, Om Trayambakam Yaja.
Mahe.
I could not stop listening to that. It was 108 times, and I just, I was just wondering, they said that was a powerful mantra. Could you expand a little bit on that?
Firstly, Om Namah Shivaya, that mantra is supplemented by Mahamrityunjaya mantra. The Mahamrityunjaya mantra is Om Trayambakam Yajamahe Sugandhim Pushti Vardhanam Urvarukamiva Bandhanan Mrityor Mukshyama Mritat. It's a powerful prayer. It's a mantra that has been charged by the minds of countless sages. You must realize a mantra that has been recited, practiced in old caves and ancient times with bearded sages. So anything that has been practiced by countless people in a powerful way carries a special potency. So the potency of Mahamrityunjaya mantra is immense. It's a healing mantra. So even though the mantra points to liberation, every movement towards liberation is an act of healing, whatsoever may be your problem. The meaning is Om, Om is what invoking God. Trayambakam, you are describing God with three eyes. Two eyes represent the normal vision, parallel vision. In cross, you have a parallel line. and then there is a vertical line. Trayambakam is another aspect of cross. Two eyes, the horizontal vision, if you measure that, rather put a line, the horizontal with the two eyes. Put a line with the nose and up, vertical. Now I'm making a joke, but the idea is to understand the Godward movement requires a vertical vision. So God is viewed to have three eyes, and your goal is to be, to grow in the image of God. Develop the three-eyed understanding. Understanding of the practical world that moves in time, past, present and future. Understanding of the vertical, the reality that transcends time, doesn't move anywhere. Same in the past, same in the present, same in future. If you are seeing things from the lower level of a mountain, think of a mountain. At the foot of the mountain, there is a road. If you are at the foot of the mountain, you are aware of a car going to come. And when a car is not before you, it's coming. It comes before you, it becomes present. It goes from your sight, it becomes future. Past rather becomes past. In other words, from the foot of the mountain, you are experiencing past, present and future. From the top of the mountain, you see the car always in your view. Trayambakam gives you that understanding. That God we are worshipping, Yajamahe, we invoke. What does He do? What's your prayer? Sugandhim Pushti Vardhanam. May He bring fragrance. Think of growing mango. Each time people go by, old style people, put their nose into it. Is it right? And looks at his body, he's getting fat. Sugandhim Pushti Vardhanam. Mystically speaking, if you assimilate the divine teachings, practice integral yoga in a profound way, you are developing spiritual muscles, developing pushti. And along with pushti, your good qualities ooze out of you, even though you don't, were not aware of it. Like fragrance. A flower works very hard to blossom. But it can't hold its fragrance to itself. It moves everywhere. So that is the description, mystical description of soul's movement towards God. This movement, soul becomes well nourished and it wafts the fragrance of Satchidananda. Uruva Rukamiva. Now comes another allegorical presentation. The soul has just like a cucumber fruit. The cucumber fruit grows in a mesh, in a creeper. Creeper is just on the ground and conditions are not good. But once the fruit has become ripened, it moves away from the creeper. And if you want to bring it back to the creeper, there is no surgeon can do that. In the same way, the soul, having received the grace of God, having developed nourishment and having allowed the virtuous qualities to become aromatic, ultimately it ripens into an enlightened soul. Now the enlightened soul and the world creeper that had sustained it, there is no relationship. It becomes separated. You cannot go back to the old pattern of life. And that's called liberation. May we all attain that liberation. May we all attain that type of nourishment. May all become fragrant. Not like a skunks. There are two fingers rose there.
Swamiji, when you were speaking about and using the analogy of the moon taking on waxing and then it's full, and also in regards to the light with the day when it's getting longer, all the cycles being eternal, the moment it's full, it starts to lose. So is that when No. Move on to another
no,
state?
No, in that description there is only waxing.
Okay.
There is no waning.
Okay, mm-hmm. I was wondering.
Right.
No, I thought no, maybe that is when we move
right.
on to a next
constant
state.
Expansion of your heart.
And there's no waning. That's good.
No
I like
waning.
That. Okay, thank you.
Purna Anand. Purnima.
Swamiji, what is the mystical meaning behind Krishna's feet are when they're exposed and he's killed by an arrow in his feet? What is that? What is the mystical meaning of the feet?
Again,
the Krishna?
Hmm?
And the bottom of his feet are susceptible to the arrow, right?
Oh, that you are referring to the time of his departure.
Right, right. I just wondered, you know, why the bottom of the feet, or is there some mystical meaning?
That's adopted a very simple allegorical story that Krishna's personality departed, just like Christ departed with cross. And Christ turns to the person, people who are responsible, he says, oh God, forgive them, they don't know. Krishna does the same thing. A fowler does a foul act, charges an arrow, thinking Krishna's foot was like an ear of a deer from a distance, mistaken. And of course, it was Krishna's own plan. But when he comes to pick up the deer, he sees Krishna. And he knows who Krishna was, and he becomes extremely sorrowful. And Krishna calms him down. He says that this act of yours will not touch you. Rather, it will elevate you. This was my own will. Again, why foot? Well, first point you should understand, if he had put the arrow anywhere else, he still will be asking the question. No, yet there is the answer. Where a person is depends upon where his feet are. So it's wiser to keep a watch on a person, not watch over all over the body. The feet, where they are going. Follow the footsteps. And those feet, they become the target when he has to depart. Okay.
So before we enjoy Kumkum blessings from Gurudev's hands,